Thank you. please join me in the call to worship. God loves all of us. Do not demand a diamond ring. Do not store earthly treasures. Do good. Be generous, be friendly, be loving. We worship. Let us now share Christ's precious love one with another. The peace of Christ be with you.
Dear God, we are here before you this day, admiring and praising your greatness, and placing ourselves humbly before you. In a world where we sometimes value material possessions more than your goodness, it is nice to know that we already have your love. We do not need to buy it. Holy God, we ask that you are with us today as we prayerfully seek to worship you and understand what it really means to seek your love. Jesus so freely gave us many things, including prayer. So let us pray the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning to all. Whether it is your first time here or your third time this week, whether you are a child or your children have children, whether you are a prince or a pauper, we welcome you. This week, the youth of Old South offer a service to celebrate our devotion and thankfulness toward the Lord. The theme on which we wish to focus is Can't Buy Me Love, in hopes of conveying the message that our Christian intentions should do triumph over monetary greed. We encourage everyone to remember that, in our everyday lives, it is always beneficial to stop and think about our obligations to society and friends in a philanthropic sense. So today, as you sit in this holy hall, we invite you to consider offering actions of compassion rather than monetary motives.
And a few announcements. Please find the fellowship pad at the end of every pew, a little black book. We hope you will write your name in it, and if you do, we will write you back. Join us for refreshments and informal conversation today after worship in Gordon Chapel. And if you are May-born, if you join us in fellowship hour, we will sing happy birthday to you and give you cake. As you can see from the colorful insert in your bulletin, we have two quite wonderful concerts this week. The New England Handbell Festival, featuring, of course, the Old South Ringers. And as we approach Memorial Day, a concert of tender music to recall us to the holy work of remembering and of peacemaking. And finally today, our annual Old South Youth Sunday, we turn over our leadership of worship to the youth of Old South, to these gifted and glorious, faithful and funny, whimsical and wonderful, magical, mysterious, sometimes mischievous, youth of Old South. So open the doors of your hearts, Old South, as they bring their talents and their faithfulness, their joy and hope and humor to leading us this morning as we gather together in worship of the living God.
Kiddo, what you got there?
It's knowledge, and it's extremely heavy.
Maybe I can give you a hand.
I don't think we can keep this up. So do you know what I think we have to do?
Drop some knowledge on you. Well, now that we have that established, I have something to give you, son.
What could it be?
5 crisp dollar bills. Don't spend them all in one place.
Gee, thanks a million, Dad.
Whoa there, that was quick. What'd you buy?
This bag of candy. But it's all gone now.
Well now, that's just too bad, isn't it?
Now, why don't you give me 5 more?
Well, son, it's a bit much. How about I give you another 5 a week from today?
Aw, shucks.
You know what that's called?
An allowance.
How many of you have allowances? Well, maybe you could teach a thing or two to Curtis here. Allowances teach you to be responsible with money, instead of using it for something you'll regret later, like eating a whole bag of candy in under a minute.
I guess that's similar to God asking us to be responsible with our money and possessions, instead of trying to use them to gain His love or the love of others. Right, Dad?
Well put, my boy. Well put. I think you've learned a valuable lesson today.
And I think I'm going to be sick.
Before you go, take this. I think you've earned it.
An African proverb wisely insists that it takes a village to raise a child. If you look in your bulletins on pages 4 and 5, you will see the names of some of the villagers whose labors and love surround the children and youth of Old South Church in Boston, raising them into Christian life and discipleship. On behalf of this congregation, we thank all of you. Thank you for sharing the gifts God has given you with the young people of this church. Gifts of enthusiasm, patience, laughter, adaptability, reflection, drama, music. Gifts of knowledge and of craft making, the gift of preparation, and the gift of getting up every Sunday morning earlier than the rest. Thank you, villagers, and bless you for the gift that you are to this family of faith. For this, we say to you, thank you and bless you.
Beyond those who teach our children, our Christian Education Committee oversees the overall educational programming, from pancake breakfasts and intergenerational lunches to the Christmas pageant and church picnic. We would like to thank you, CE Committee. Would you please rise? And stay standing. There's another group of people. We'd like to invite all the teachers of church school and all the aides to teachers in church school and all the other parts of our educational program to rise now. And we'd like to thank you. You can be seated. And for our youth, we are blessed with two talented and committed leaders, Michelle Shin and Rolanda Ward. Michelle and Rolanda, would you please stand up right down here in the front row? Michelle and Rolanda do not just plan Sunday morning programs, including the entire worship service today with our youth, but they also take overnight retreats, Saturday service projects, and regular check-in phone calls and emails for our young people, and we are so grateful.
I need to ask Rolanda to come up here for a second. Rolanda Ward has been our youth worker here at Old South for well over a decade. And you should know, she's very quiet behind the scenes working with their youth. You don't often see her, but she holds a Master's of Divinity degree from Boston University. But not only that, for these past few years, six years, she has been working on another degree at Boston University in sociology and social work. This is the newly doctored Dr. Rolanda Ward.
One more person that we need to thank this morning. That's the person who takes care of the labor of coordination, of shepherding, of choosing curriculum, supporting teachers, equipping leaders, and organizing the many events outside the church school classroom that our children depend on for their Christian formation. For that critical work, often unseen yet vital to our church school and our whole church, I'd like to recognize Tricia Hazeltine, our church school director. Just come out here for a round of applause. To all of you who make Christian education happen at Old South Church, and that is all of you, every single one of you, we want to thank you. Yours is a ministry that touches lives, shapes disciples, and keeps the Christian faith alive for generations to come. Thank you and bless you.
I'd like to ask our fourth graders, Anna, Christina, and Nate, to please come forward and gather yourselves on the steps and come on up. Okay, you can do it. I'm not sure. Anna wasn't sure she was going to make it. Her parents were out of town, so she will be here in spirit. And the members of the confirmation class, I need to ask you to come forward as well. I am very pleased that the confirmation class is here to help me with the presentation of the Bibles. In just a little bit, they'll be helping me hand out the Bibles, a little logistical help there. But more importantly, they have a gift for the fourth graders, and they have a gift for all of you. They are going to give a, shall we say, modern interpretation of what one might find in the Bible. It is their invitation to all of you to get to know the Bible and make it yours.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Noah builds ark out of good strong lumber.
Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, you better listen up, cause we're speaking the truth.
Samuel 1, Samuel 2, Kings 1, Kings 2, all is not just passed on for us from you.
Chronicles 1, Chronicles 2, Ezra, Nehemiah, God's always with us when things look dire.
Esther, Job, Psalms, and Proverbs, in these stories we listen for God's word.
Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, with God on our side, we always aim higher.
Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Daniel didn't feel
alone,
even in
Elea. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, even inside the whale, Jonah wasn't a loner. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, the Bible is our history and our faith is inspired. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, the end, so now we know the books of the Old Testament.
Right on.
Word.
And the people of God said, Amen. Christina, Nate, Anna, it is my pleasure this morning to present to each of you your own Bible. You will find between these covers dramatic stories, stirring histories, songs and prayers, heroes and heroines, advice, answers, and questions. You will find the story of God's people. The Bible is, as the psalmist said, a lamp to our feet and a light to my path. As you come to know it over the years of your life, we hope it will be such a light to you. You will find in each of your Bibles a bookmark with those words of the psalmist. You will also find on it a citation for another Bible verse. I have chosen this verse especially for you. I challenge you to find the verse, mark it, and let it be a particular guide to you as you grow in your relationship with God. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for the gift of your word found in the Bible. May it indeed be a lamp and a light to us. We pray, gracious God, that it be a source of strength and hope for the young people growing up among us and indeed for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The morning's first reading comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
The morning's second reading comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, Whose head is on this, and whose title? They answered, The emperor's. Then he said to them, Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for opening our hearts to your love. Continue to help us live our lives as freely and happily as possible. Amen. Good morning. I'd like to start out by telling a story of two brothers. The older brother was always annoyed by his younger brother and felt that he was of no use to him. The two boys' mother was very clever and decided she could fix this problem. She had the older son make his brother's bed each day. As the brother put time and effort into making his sibling's bed, affection suddenly began to grow until the older brother saw how deeply he loved his younger kin. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 tells us, Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's an interesting verse. While Matthew is giving us direction, it still leaves so much to be decided by us as followers of the scripture. Since God also gave us free will. Jesus doesn't say exactly what our treasure will or should be, but simply that whatever we hold as a prized possession is where we will place our love. If you think about it, that's a pretty amazing thing to do. Jesus knew that we would be tempted, misguided, and blinded by the evils of this material world. But he loved us so much that he gave us the choice to make the tough decisions ourselves. We look for comfort among tragedies like hunger and poverty in our world. Comfort that brings peace to our mind and nourishment to our soul. Comfort that awakens you and numbs you at the same time. But where to find this comfort? God gives us freedom to choose, but also gave us Jesus and the apostles to guide us. Matthew is giving us that guidance, and God sets before us many open doors. It's up to us whether we walk through them or not. In 1964, the Beatles hit it big. Their songs, especially Can't Buy Me Love, reflected a time of optimism that was unique. Can't Buy Me Love spoke to a time when it seemed that endless possibilities and open doors were ahead. By the end of that decade, the doors seemed to be shutting. Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy were assassinated, the Vietnam War was changing our country forever, and the Beatles were no more. We seem to be in a different place now, a place where we value possessions and money more than ever. Does an old song by the Beatles even ring true anymore? I say it does. Here at Old South, we walk under a portal that reads, "Behold, I set before thee an open door." I think of all the open doors before me, so many at the age of 17. Like Brandon Flowers sings in the Killers song, "Human," sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, cut the cord. Are we human or are we dancer? Put another way, are we flesh or are we spirit? I say dancer or spirit first, encased in a body. Dancing roughly 17 hours a week with Boston Youth Moves, I am dedicated and passionate about dance. It has been a constant in my life for the past 13 years and is now a vital part of who I am. I dance because I want to fully use the body God has blessed me with. I love how selfless I feel when just letting go of everything else around me. I dance because it is my treasure, and there my heart is also. In the words of Martha Graham, a pioneer of modern dance, I am a dancer. I believe that we learn by practice, whether it means to learn to dance by practicing dancing or to learn to live by practicing living. In each, it is the performance of a dedicated, precise set of acts, physical or intellectual, from which comes shape of achievement, a sense of one's being, a satisfaction of spirit. One becomes, in some area, an athlete of God. Being an athlete of God, now that is truly priceless. As a junior in high school, I feel as though I am constantly being asked to decide the rest of my life. Whenever I am asked about my plan for after high school, I have one definite response. I just want to dance. I am often asked questions such as, why do you dance? Or what is your goal? And my personal favorite, can you do that as a job? I can honestly say that while dancing, I am the closest to God I could ever be. I'm stretching the body I've been blessed with to its fullest extent, using every emotion and every muscle to fly across the floor. I feel I'm home, and that is an irreplaceable feeling. However, choosing dance as my career goal has opened my eyes to some financial realities. The life of a dancer is very strenuous, working show to show, and they certainly don't make a lot of money. But in the end, I know that as long as my treasures are pure and true, my heart will be content. I also know that what I take from dance will be permanent and lasting, as it is part of my spirit. It's not that money is bad. No, far from it. We need it to live in this world. Like George Bailey tells the angel Clarence in It's a Wonderful Life, it comes in pretty handy down here, bub. No, money is not bad. It's just that we really can't take it with us. It's the way we both use and abuse it that can make or break us as flawed humans. It's good, but there's something better. And that is simply love. Things that touch our spirit, we keep. We keep love. Love of each other, and most importantly, love for Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. So, I encourage you to walk through that open door and make your brother's bed. Dance like no one's watching, and lay up treasures in your spirits. Immerse yourself in all that is God in Jesus Christ. Allow them to set passion on fire in your soul. Then truly, as the Beatles also said, the love you take will be equal to the love you make.
Picture a large gold and beautifully inscribed chest, filled to the brim with gold coins and elaborate jewelry, pearls, rubies, emeralds. If such a present was given to you, you might think to jump for joy. But alas, we find the things that will give you lasting joy do not have a price tag. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This verse from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, offers profound insight. While owning many expensive possessions on earth may give way to jealousy from your neighbors, it will not lend to lasting happiness or satisfaction. To be truly happy, we need to find treasures that cannot expire or wear down or be gobbled up. These treasures will give us spiritual content, as opposed to the comfort of wealth or material possessions. It is not necessarily true that God condemns earthly possessions, rather, our opinion of them. It is not what we own, but how we view and value what we own. And that what we own on earth is not what ultimately gives us happiness. If our goals and achievements all stem from obtaining great wealth or other worldly things, we will never be able to feel fully satisfied or fulfilled. When I was younger, I used to place great value on how much somebody owned, the size of their house, what clothes they wore, and even placed pressure on myself to live up to those standards. As I grew older, though, I began to see a pattern. The people who were truly the happiest were the ones who felt validated by the work and service for others that they did, or the art they created, not by what they owned. Great wealth, I saw, did not, in almost every instance, lead to lasting happiness. Maybe a momentary surge of euphoria, but ultimately, nothing ever came from wealth. At around the same time I started noticing that, I became interested in social justice, standing up for what I believed in and crying out against what I thought was wrong. The people I admired switched from glamorous celebrities to amazing activists who were ever persistent and passionate. I realize now that that is the type of person I want to be. When I look back at my life, I want to see achievement in the form of having made a change. Now, in my life, I get comfort from knowing that I will not simply focus on how luxuriously I can live or how successful I will ever be or what my salary will be, but rather on how I can stay true to myself and help in my own way to serve God by standing up to the many injustices of the world. Money could never replace the satisfaction I get from speaking up against violence and crimes, inequality and oppression. Amen. Love, we give thanks for the people in our lives, family, friends, and our community. These people influence our lives and shape us into who we are. We give thanks for your love. Your love guides us to make good decisions and fills our hearts. We ask for forgiveness for not showing our love to you, for taking your love for granted, for not always giving our love to those who need it. Forgive us, God, as we try to love with all our hearts. Over the course of the week, those known to us and unknown to us have left their silent prayers. We pray that their concerns and prayers are heard. Now, God, hear our silent prayers. We praise you for being there for us, God. You are there for the good and bad times. You provide us with the strength, courage, and blessing. But most importantly, you are L-O-V-E, love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our theme for today is Money Can't Buy Me Love. This doesn't mean that we must reject others with different amounts of money. Our main message is to recognize the values people uphold and the love they show to others. We must keep in mind that in today's world, money is a powerful possession. For with unlimited amounts, we can do great things. For example, we can help starving children get appropriate medical attention and proper nutrition. So today, when the ushers come around, we ask not that you give all the money in your pockets in hope of buying God's love, but in hopes the money you offer will help people in need. Now the morning offering will be given and received. Please bless these gifts offered here today and allow them to help others less fortunate than us. We pray for that in the near future, people in need will be able to afford homes, food, and medical care. We thank you for all that you have blessed us with and pray that these offerings will bring comfort to those who are in need of comforting. In Jesus' name, amen. Goals and help us to fulfill our highest potential without being distracted by worldly treasures. We lift up our hands in praise to you, knowing that being connected to you is more valuable than any jewel. Amen.
Bye. you want.